It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cars. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. I went last Friday, beautiful building, lots of cool stuff in there. Go check them out. Give them a call, 318-255-7698. Bulldogs, of course, coming off a thrilling last-second field goal by Jonathan Barnes to beat the Roadrunners of UTSA inside the Alamo Dome. Tech missing three starters. Deldrick Canty on the defensive line. His replacement, Jalen Ferguson, had him a whale of a game, was Louisiana Defensive Player of the Week this week as a redshirt freshman. The future is bright on Tech's defensive line. Kenneth Dixon, of course, missed to an ankle injury that he sustained in Wednesday's practice. He is expected to be back this week. Jared Kraft filled in for him, and I thought Jared Kraft had a good day. Averaged nearly 5 yards a carry. And then Paul Turner was out, and he was replaced by a host of Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's good to see Sanford State get out there and make something happen. That's his first real run.
That dang turf monster. He was grabbed by the ankles on a surefire touchdown, but the turf monster got him.
Man.
But yes, he was – it was good to see him.
Yeah, Cam McKnight got out there. You know, and it's funny because Marcus Gaines was the big hero of the week before, and then he doesn't really, you know, get a whole chance to do a whole lot, but the other guys stepped in. So it's good to see the depth showing for the receivers.
Cam McKnight, a redshirt freshman. I've been tooting his horn for years that he was going to be a player. Yep. And Cam McKnight is a player. Tech victorious 34-31 over the Roadrunners of UTSA. UTSA started a sophomore walk-on quarterback in Dalton Sturm, who had an awful first half but really recovered nicely in the second half. They went to the quick passing game, which is what everybody's done all year against Tech. When you go to the quick passing game, Tech can't blitz and get after you. So that's what UTSA did in the second half. They went to the zone read. Tech defensive ends weren't as disciplined as they needed to be, but whenever you're starting a redshirt freshman like Jalen Ferguson, it's going to happen.
Who still had a great game.
Who had a whale of a game.
Was it the Louisiana Defensive Player of the Year? So
a week. What's
a week, my bad.
We got a few
Slow
weeks
my
left.
Roll. Pump the brakes, yeah.
But Dalton Sturm had two interceptions that really were nearly pick sixes in the first quarter. And John Tabor is freaking out because the Cubbies just hit another home run. 6-4, bottom of the seventh. But Sturm was pretty good. You made the comment we were before the show that has UTSA found their quarterback? Bogenschutz hasn't practiced yet this week.
Yeah, if he doesn't play and they go down there and beat Southern Miss, you got to give the ball to the Sturm the rest of the year. I mean, you got to.
Sturm's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, he really does. Is it a walk-on sophomore, I think?
Jeff Driscoll had two picks, neither of which I accredit to him. The first was pass interference that was waved off after the white hat announces it's pass interference. I've never seen it in my life.
Hey, don't you love Conference USA refs? Oh, my God.
It's really the NCAA. Any game you watch, the officiating is terrible. And really, the NFL's not a whole lot better.
Yeah.
They're depending on instant replay entirely too much.
Yeah, and then, to be fair, that instant replay, is pointing out all their flaws. Everybody's seeing it in high definition now and all the different camera angles. You know, 20, 30 years ago, they're making all these mistakes, and we just don't know it.
I was watching the Saints game Saturday, and in the NFL, it seems like they're throwing flags for pass interference when it's questionable, and then they have their little congregation meeting. Looks like they're having a prayer meeting at a Baptist church on the field, and then they may agree that it's a pass interference, and they may not.
So many, though, they do not pick up the flag. They will never admit that they made a mistake. So to see them actually change that call was shocking.
It was shocking. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text on the same text line, 888-993-7762. Give us your thoughts on the UTSA game or even Mississippi State coming up Saturday in Stark Vegas, 11 a.m., on the SEC Network. Going back to Jeff Driscoll's numbers, 28 of 44, 351 yards, average of 8 yards, a pass, one touchdown, two interceptions. The second interception bounced off Marcus Gaines' shoulder pads and ends up in a UTSA fella's hands. So, Two interceptions that really you cannot account or accredit to Jeff Driscoll.
So leading up to the game, you know, we talked about how the two teams didn't like each other and all the penalties in previous games and each team accusing the other of dirty play. Really not as bad of a knockdown drag out as we thought. I mean,
yeah, they really – I asked Trent Taylor about it yesterday, and he said there was really no talk. And I would imagine that both coaches are tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, you got two veteran coaches, and they put a stop to it, which is a good thing.
And Tex coming off a game where they had some personal foul penalties that Holtz was – he expressed his displeasure about them. And
to say the least.
I would not want to be a Bulldog after that game getting a personal foul. No. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Not at all.
There would be some wrath to be caught from the head coach.
Yeah.
You look at Jared Kraft. I mean, there's some. Or he actually averaged nearly 4 yards a carry, and he 19 carries for 72 yards, 3.8 yards a carry, along a 17 and one rushing touchdown. There's fans that were disappointed in his play. What did you expect?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought he's pretty good, but he doesn't have that pop to him. But we're watching Kenneth Dixon every week. Of course he's not Kenneth Dixon. Nobody is. But he can get the job done. It remains to be seen next year, can he carry the load every game? But Tech's going to have other players that can
help
share.
It's going to be by committee.
Yeah, help share the load. He might be the starter, but nobody's going to be Dixon. I mean, you're just not. You're not going to average 7 or 8 yards a carry.
Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with our friend Rafe. Rafe, what's going on, my man?
Oh, man, just making a little drive here. I hadn't heard your radio show so far, so I could hear you talking about Kraft, who I thought performed admirably. You know, it's not just that he ran well, it's that he can pick up the blitz, and he's got enough kind of weight in his bottom to hold a block more than just a millisecond, and that's almost as important as being able to run for positive yardage, which he normally does.
And that's very rare for such a young player.
I mean, and there's times when you can tell he gets more comfortable, but I was really impressed with the way that he covered the ball and didn't try to get more than what's there on some, you know, the way he finished the runs where he didn't allow them to strip the ball from him. And so, he had a really good game, I thought. I mean, I do not understand any criticism of him as far as what you would expect in that scenario.
I'm with you 100%. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm wondering if what's our likelihood of going over there and physically matching Mississippi State? Are they that much bigger and stronger and faster than we are? Can we match them athlete for athlete? What do you think about that?
Probably the first stringers. I think Tech can probably match them. Their defensive ends are bigger than Tech's. They're probably not as fast as Tech's. If they are, that's scary that they're as big as they are and they're as fast as they are.
And to be honest, I don't think they're that much bigger height-wise or weight-wise than Dora and Ferguson.
True.
I mean, and Kansas right up there with them weight-wise. They might be 10% bigger, 5% bigger.
I think
bigger.
Ferguson's about 250 or 260 right now himself.
Yeah, so they're not a whole lot bigger. They're not huge at linebacker or defensive back, but they do have, on offense and defense, two or three players that are just really big and really fast, you know, SEC studs. And, yeah, that big Wilson, the big 6'5 receiver, is the main one I'm thinking about. That, you know, if Tech has trouble with them, you know, it could be a long day. But I don't see Mississippi State. I see them a lot like Kansas State is. Yeah, they're a little bigger than Tech, but they're not so outrageously better that it's going to be they're going to be overmatched. You're talking about two teams that are probably top 50, top 45 in the country. And Tech's been recruiting really well the last two or three years. And Tech's got some athletes of their own. I really think it'll be pretty evenly matched. The big difference is, you know, Tech hasn't seen a whole lot of quarterbacks like Dak Prescott, and can we stop him from running and passing, because he can do both.
How do you see it playing out, Rafe?
Well, I think that we'll have some extra incentive with those defensive linemen, Dora and Butler, being from Mississippi, and probably have a little bit of angst over the state not looking at them as closely as, or maybe they had offers, but you know, sometimes going against the state school, you want to show a little bit extra effort. I've been pleased with our linebacker play. I thought last year when we played Auburn, we were physically imposing against them, and you know, they didn't push us around for sure. I mean, they outskilled us, but they definitely didn't push us around. So the question is whether or not Dak can run wild. You know, can we contain him and keep him from gashing us with the running game? But they've got the same problem with Driscoll. I don't know who's the better runner out of Driscoll and Prescott, but I wouldn't, and I say this with a little bit of doubt, but I don't know if I would trade Driscoll for Prescott at this point, seeing what he can do, his skill set, his mastery of the game, how he fits our offense. You know, if it's quarterback versus quarterback, I'm going to give the nod to Driscoll.
Well, let me ask you this. If you could have gotten Prescott out of high school, who do you choose?
Driscoll versus Prescott?
Yeah.
Driscoll, for sure. He was a top player in the country. You know, that he was definitely...
Knowing what we know about both players, and Driscoll's had a really good year, it's hard to imagine not taking Prescott.
Well, it
doesn't matter, but that's what sports radio's good.
I thought you meant rewind it back to, you know, we don't know what we know now.
No, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, everything. You know, hindsight's 20/20.
Oh, Prescott. Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, Driscoll kind of didn't have the greatest performance at Florida, and you know, he transferred to Tech for a reason. But you know,
I was going to say, Driscoll, knowing what we know now and knowing what Driscoll's meant as far as leadership and just his, you know, drives at the end of the game and just his calmness, he is perfect for this team. And I don't know if I'd trade him for anybody in the country, even
his poise. His poise is absolutely incredible.
And he keeps getting better and better and better in different types of situations. You don't see any ceiling really with him at this point. He looks like an NFL quarterback. That's what he looks like. He's poised like that. He moves like that. He thinks like that. You know, he finds a multitude of receivers. Even when we have our better guys go down, it's not like we have a bunch of five-star receivers. You know, he can, I mean, we've got good receivers. I'm not saying that, but he can work with what he's got, and that's, to me, that's impressive. I don't think, I mean, is Mississippi State, is their defense any better than Kansas State? I don't know. I mean, maybe they are, but I'm just saying that
it's different style, so it's kind of hard to...
They're not as good against the run as Kansas State was at all.
So, Kenneth Dixon's probably going to play, but is he going to be 100%? Probably not. I mean, just being realistic.
Well, most games he seems to be playing at 80 to 90 anyway. He takes such a beating every week, but he has the heart of a lion. He's going to go out there and he's going to play well.
Oh, I think he's going to be 100%. I mean, I know that we have the injury and things like that, but I think he's going to play at 100%. Whether or not he feels it, he may feel it later, but that we're going to see everything he's got, because he tends to show out against
the opponents. You mentioned Dora Butler, who, you know, had some pretty good offers coming out of high school, but they're both from Mississippi. One player who did have a Mississippi State offer was Darius Barnes. So you've got three Mississippi players starting for that Tech defense. And like you said earlier, they're going to play the game of their year. I mean, this is the big game on the calendar for them.
Yeah, and Barnes has played a lot better. He's gotten. I know he got. He had the one touchdown scored on him by the tight end. He's a very good player. Kind of pushed off on him, and he didn't beat the position on that play. But he's played better. And you know our corners. You know what about Bryson Abraham? My goodness,
he's an unbelievable cover corner.
I mean, he's. I would say he's the most improved player of the year. He's got to be.
Well, you just want him to defend the pass, but now he's going to take your cookies and run away with them. You know,
take your lunch money.
Yeah, take your lunch money and you know, then do the Superman pose after he does it. He's something else, and I was impressed with Grogan's first career interception, but looking for the lateral. Love it.
Absolutely. Well, Rafe, we really appreciate it, like always.
All right, man. See you later.
Thanks. You look back at recapping Tech's, we'll take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk about Tech's statistical numbers and where they rank in the country after the UTSA game. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me like he has for several weeks now and will regularly do. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston and the historic Rogers Furniture Building, freshly renovated, freshly opened. I think they opened last Monday. Go check them out. 111 North Trenton Street. Jason, the statistical rankings for Louisiana Tech are they're good, especially offensively. Defensively, they're not even really that bad. I'm going to scan this real fast. Not a single one in the triple digits.
Oh, yeah, and you look at the offense. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You've got total offense is still sitting up there. It's number 17. Dip below 500, but still 494 yards a game. But then look at the total defense. 46th in the country at 360 yards. Really, the last two or three weeks, I guess the last three games, the defense has really put the clamps on the other team. And you've seen that ranking just climb and climb and climb. And, yeah, Florida International and San Antonio aren't the highest-ranked offenses in the world. But I really think the defense has really come a long way. And if it was just a couple of misplays against San Antonio, and they would have really held them down.
It's shocking that the safety play has been the Achilles heel of this defense. It's shocking.
Everybody thought it'd be the linebackers, but those guys have really just come out of nowhere and played great.
And the safeties have come out of nowhere and played like poo.
Yeah, and Bryce and Woods were, you know, two of the top three rated players on the team coming back from last year. So it has been shocking. So maybe they're just trying to do too much. They feel like they got to carry the load or whatever. Maybe they're out of position because they're trying to make a big play. But whatever it is, Coach Baker addressed it, and I feel like they're going to address it this week, and it's going to be improved.
Yeah, Coach Baker was obviously not happy. And that's his former position group. There's a new safeties coach now, and Carl Scott. I don't know that you can say this, Coach Scott, at this point. It's way too early. These guys have shown they've got the ability.
Yeah.
If you're Coach Scott, you're getting out of their way at this point.
Yeah, I mean he's new to the team. It's not like he's doing anything to make them worse. I mean they're the same players they were last year. Something's just happened, but they'll get it right.
And you look at pass defense, that's where this team isn't awesome. Team of passing efficiency defense, they're 85th in the country. Passing yards allowed, they're 93rd. That's the closest Tech gets to triple digits. And like I said, that's what everyone expected Tech to be best at, was pass defense. Rush defense is at number 23 in the country. That's salty. First down offense, I think, is a very interesting ranking. I don't remember that one being on there last year. I think the NCAA starts keeping up with different stats.
Yeah.
But first down offense, Tech is 10th in the country, which means that they're left with shorter down and distances for the later downs. Tech's third down conversion percentage is 75th in the country, but they don't get the third down real often.
No, really don't. I mean, it's surprising. You're not facing that many third downs. So I mean, just stats-wise, they've really improved over the last few weeks, and maybe it's just because Florida International, ULL, UTSA, those aren't world beaters, and maybe you'll see that change this week against Mississippi State. But those three teams are pretty average, kind of in the middle of the whole schedule for this year. You know, you've got West Kentucky and Kansas State up at the top, and you've still got North Texas and UTEP coming up that are horrible. But those three are kind of middle of the road, and Tech dominated the stat sheet.
Jason, if you were – let's go ahead and say Manny Diaz, because he's facing Tech's offense this week. How would you combat Tech's multiple offense with like the likes of Trent Taylor? Hopefully Paul Turner's back this week. Cam McKnight, Kenneth Dixon.
You've got to sell out against the run, try to contain Driscoll and Dixon, which is hard, to keep them both from running wild. You're going to have to give it up to Trent Taylor in the middle because you don't want to get beat deep, and just hope that Tech makes enough mistakes. Let Trent Taylor catch his 12 passes, but hope they make enough mistakes and just don't have the big play. That's the only way you can do it, and that's what most teams have tried to do, and that's how Taylor's having such a big year. But Driscoll's found a way to get his rushing yards. If they shut down Dixon, he's found a way to get his. And
mostly from scrambling. If a play breaks down, he makes something out of nothing.
But even on some of those zone replays, or just kind of the fake handoff where he takes around the end, it's just enough to kind of to open up the defense a little bit. I haven't seen anybody shut down the Driscoll run and the Dixon run. So that's what I would try to do, but it's going to be really hard.
I don't know how I would. You look at how multifaceted Tech's offense is from all those names that I mentioned, and even when Carlos Henderson's out, Marcus Gaines fills in. When Paul Turner's out, Sanford C and Marlon Watts fill in.
And Cam McKnight's been filling in most of the year and playing great.
And you got an offensive line that in the interior of the offensive line hasn't played real well all year. The center obviously changed, and you've seen two different centers rotating in and out all game, or every game since Wixon went out. I think Josh Robinson has played pretty well. O'Shea Dugas has had flashes where, like, oh my goodness, this guy's going to play in the NFL. Then you've had flashes, but that's a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Texas defense, rushing yards, they gave up over 140 to three teams: ULL, Kansas State, Western Kentucky. But some of those games, Florida International, they held to 45 yards rushing, and then UTSA 73. So Tech's really shutting them down. And then passing yards, I mean, the last every game except Western Kentucky, 187 Southern, 195 Kansas State, 263 FIU, 182 the Cajuns, 227 UTSA. Pass defense is really not giving up that many big yards, but it's just that one or two big plays that makes you think, oh man. But those plays don't happen. You've got the number one pass defense in the country. They're still doing pretty good.
Yeah, and that's true. And the part that fans probably struggle a little bit to handle is the fact that Tech is willing to give up the underneath passing game. But that's what college football and football in general has come to. We'll let you have the five yard pass. Anything at less than 5 yards, we'll let you have it. Even 1 15 yarder, we'll let you have it. We're gonna make you beat us over and over again down the field and not drop a pass, deliver every pass on target, and keep you in front of us. That is what defense has come to in football.
Yeah. I mean, Tech's given up 249 yards a game passing, rushing. I mean, way less than 4 yards a carry. They've got 200 attempts for 674 yards. So, I mean, do the math on that. That's probably less than 3.5 yards, I believe. So, I think that's looking more like 3.4 yards a carry. So, the defense, to me, is playing really good. And I don't see Mississippi State. They don't run the ball extremely well. I mean, especially outside of Prescott. It's just that
– he's their leading rusher.
Yeah, it's just that he's so good that it's hard to stop him from doing one or the other, just like Driscoll is. And I feel like he, you know, if Tech sells out to stop the rush or really keys on him, you know, they've got the ability with the big play receivers to make some big plays. Tech's given up some big plays, and that's going to be the big focal point of trying to stop them. But, you know, Daronya Wilson, 6'5", and can fly. That's going to be the guy I'm watching, and they get their big tight end back this week.
The Achilles heel, the words that no Tech fan wants to hear, tight end. Tech has struggled defending the tight end for a while. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk Mississippi State with Reed Coker with the website for whomthecowbelltolls.com. This segment, like the first segment, also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents in Brister's Smokehouse. Jason ate there just a few minutes ago. And we'll be back right after this with Reed Coker on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline, 888-993-7762. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me like he does every week. We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 255-7698. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Reed Coker from For Whom the Cowbell Tolls. How you doing, Coker?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks, bud. You know, Jason and I agree. It's one of the best website names on the internet. I know you're probably not responsible for the naming of it, but what a great name.
No, I'm actually not. I'm actually just joined in the past year, so I wasn't responsible for that. But you know, I'll take credit for it if I can.
I hear you. First off, where do you see the match, if there's a matchup out there, in your opinion, that Louisiana Tech may have a favorable Saturday in Starkville?
I think on defense, it's definitely against MSU's run game. I know Louisiana Tech has a solid defense, especially the front seven. MSU has really struggled to run the ball this year. You know, they haven't even rushed for 100 yards per game in SEC games, and they've struggled to run the ball against Troy last week. So if I had to pick one matchup, that would be it.
And then Manny Diaz, we know Manny's defense pretty well, because that's exactly what Louisiana Tech's defense looks like right now. Is he still the blitz a lot and bend but don't break kind of guy?
He is. He's been very aggressive. The only thing is he hasn't really been aggressive early in games. We've seen it a lot more in the second half of games. But, yeah, teams have been able to really move the ball against MSU, and they've tightened up in the red zone, so he really hasn't changed from his first stint at Starkville.
What do you credit Mississippi State's ability to stop teams once they do get in the red zone? Because Jason pulled out a stat earlier to me before we got on air that Mississippi State does not lead the country in time of possession.
Time of possession. I mean, against Troy, I think Troy had 38 minutes of possession. Southern Miss had 40. But, you know, scoring defense, Mississippi State's only given up 17.7 points per game.
Does that go back to that bend but don't break?
And third down defense is 25th in the country.
I think it does, and a big reason for that is Mississippi State's front seven. A.J. Jefferson, at defensive end, he actually has more tackles for loss than Miles Garrett from A&M. He's really been disruptive. And then MSU has two of the better linebackers in the league, and Benicius Brown and Richie Brown. And I think most of that can be contributed to how well the front seven has played so far.
Yeah, and Jefferson was a high school teammate of Tex Vernon Butler. So
I was just pulling it up to make sure. I thought I recognized that name.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good little rivalry for them, seeing who can have the better game on the defensive line.
And then offensively for Mississippi State, of course, it all starts with Dak Prescott. What has Dak done this year to really improve his game from his junior season?
I think the biggest thing he's done is he's stayed in the pocket and tried to find open receivers. Last year, he would go to his first read, go to his second read, and then take off if someone was there. He's really tried to stay in the pocket and find open receivers, and it's paid off. He really hasn't been a factor in the run game other than the game against Texas A&M, but I think it's really helped his passing, and I think it's really something they wanted to do to to improve his draft stock.
And how's the offensive line played thus far?
The pass protection has actually been really, really good. It's just the run blocking has been an issue at times, and that's actually the opposite of what you would expect from most teams. Most teams, if they do, you know, struggle to run block, they also struggle to pass block. But MSU has actually done pretty good pass blocking. A&M is the outlier there, but of course, you know, it's hard for anybody to block the two ends that A&M has. So I think run blocking has really been an issue so far.
And you look at Louisiana Tech. You talked about Tech's running rush offense. Their pass offense has been pretty good as well. Offensively, or defensively, how do you expect Mississippi State to really slow down Louisiana Tech?
I expect Manny to be aggressive. I expect him to be aggressive from the start. We really saw that last week against Troy. He blitzed, I think, on the first three plays of the game and never really let up until they had a big lead in the second half. And he played a lot of backups. But I expect him to be aggressive and try to force Driscoll to throw the ball, to get it out of his hands as fast as possible, and try to create more turnovers.
Are the corners playing a lot of press coverage out there because of him bringing as much heat as he is?
They have at times. They've been conservative at the beginning of games. We've seen a lot of zone coverage out of them. But I think last week against Troy, we saw a lot of more press coverage. And I think the biggest thing he's trying to do is prevent the big holes, prevent putting the team in big holes like he has been doing from the start of games. So I think you'll see a lot more press coverage against Louisiana Tech this Saturday. And he's really wanting to be more aggressive throughout the game. He's called aggressive in the later half of games, but he really hasn't been aggressive for four quarters, but I think that's something he wants to do going forward.
Well, hey, I've got a question about the game day atmosphere there at Mississippi State. I went to my first game there in 1995 when the Bulldogs played Memphis, and there might have been 25,000, 30,000 people there. Now, I went to a game last year. They played Arkansas, and there's, you know, 50,000, 60,000 people there. Cowbells everywhere.
Right.
I'm going to be there sitting, you know, in the middle of them, you know, next week.
Or this week.
Yeah, this coming weekend. And, I mean – I got to remember to bring my earphones or my earplugs for all my kids too, because we're going to be right in the middle of them. Just, and there's, you know, tents for days, tailgating everywhere. I mean, just how has the atmosphere changed over the last, say, 10 or 15 years? It seems to have doubled in size.
It's definitely changed, and I think it changed a lot just since last year. The 10-win season last year really brought a lot more fans to the campus. And, yeah, the Cowbells definitely got a lot louder once they bowled in the stadium. And but to be honest, I don't think the atmosphere is going to be too tough for Tech to handle with it being an 11 a.m. game. We've really seen the past few years, you know, for whatever reason, the fans just aren't into the game as much for 11 a.m. games. So I think Tech should be able to handle the Cowbells, and that shouldn't be too much of an issue.
You know, I think that's a problem. That's an issue all across the South. There's not enough sauce getting in people's bodies by 11 a.m.
Yeah, Skip Holt said they won't have a chance to get as much Diet Coke in their system.
They won't be as caffeinated as the way he put it. Well, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio tonight. Good stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Reed Coker from For Whom the Cowbells Toll, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I think I got that right. There's just a lot of words there.
So, that Tabor, can we get one of our breaks to be For Whom the Bell Tolls?
And also, SNL, I've got a fever for some cowbell.
There you go.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Yeah, Coach Holt said they're going to pump in the cowbells this week in practice, and I don't think it's going to be as bad for the players as it is the fans.
It's really one of the most annoying experiences.
It's so annoying, especially if there's a cowbell right behind you in the seat behind you. They don't stop, and it's just so annoying.
They may put on the video board to ring and not ring, but it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't work at all. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll continue talking Mississippi State, Louisiana Tech football Saturday in Starkville at 11 o'clock on the SEC Network. This segment brought to you by Pierce Service Company. We'll be back right after this.
And the only prescription is more cowbell. I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
Bye, 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 for old red and blue. Show your violin.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company of Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston, 318-255-7698 for all of your interior designing needs, from kitchens to bathrooms. They've got you covered. Go check them out.
Cubs have the bases loaded. We might lose Tabor here for a minute.
If you hear Tabor yell, you know something happened with the Cubbies.
But yeah, looking at Mississippi State stats, I mean, their total offense 50th, but passing offense 28th. So they're only getting 150 yards rushing a game, 90th in the country. So really, rushing the ball on offense and on defense, stopping the run, they're not that great. Rushing defense is 73rd. So that's to a Tech's strengths. So they really play into Tech's strengths in those two aspects.
If there was a stat for yards per carry, though, for the other yards per carry defense, there's not. They would be high. Teams are deciding to try to run the ball on Mississippi State, and that's one reason why their time of possession is so high.
Yeah, teams. No doubt. I mean, Southern Miss and Troy both rushed for over 100 yards against them, but they were less than 3 yards per carry, I believe. One of them was 2.8, one of them was 2.4.
I even think Northwestern State rushed for over 100 yards against them.
I think everybody has. So you're right, but they are giving up some, you know, they're giving up 170 yards per game. Now, a lot of that was LSU.
I mean, Northwestern State ran the ball 50 times against Mississippi State. 50.
That will skew the stats.
146 yards, one rushing touchdown. Now, there's a little bit of a – they're struggling at quarterback in Natchitoches right now. They used three quarterbacks. So that's skewing it as well.
They gave up 266 yards rushing against LSU, and I'm going to look at Auburn.
But how about this for efficiency? Against Northwestern State, Mississippi State 16 for 18 through three quarterbacks for 372 yards and four touchdowns.
Wow. Yeah, they only rushed about 56 yards against Auburn and gave up 201. So they definitely struggle in the run game. Oh, and the Cubbies are out. You know, third down on defense, they're awesome. They're 25th in the country, only allowing a conversion at a 30% rate. But on offense, their third down conversion, 93rd. You know, they're getting a conversion at, you know, 35% rate. So not great on third down at all on offense, but on defense, really good. Red zone defense, tied for 26th, pretty good. So they do really step it up when it matters. But
and they ran the ball pretty well against Texas A&M, but you look at Malik Deer, had a 52-yard run for a touchdown. You take out his run, and they're at 150 yards.
Yeah, and A&M is an offensive juggernaut. They're not known for their defense so much.
Yeah, they ran the ball 45 times against Mississippi State for 194 yards.
Yeah, so.
And Kyle Allen threw the ball 41 times. They ran a few plays.
Yeah, just a few. I really like Tech's matchup in this game. You know, I feel like it's a lot like Kansas State. Yeah, they're home. They got the big crowd. They got a little bit bigger players. They're going to be favored by 10 points, 12 points, whatever it is. But once you get on the field and you hit each other a couple times, it's still football. And Tech usually shows up in these type of games. And I think Tech's got enough of an advantage in the run game on offense and defense. We saw the time of possession against Troy and Southern Miss, you know, where Mississippi State basically only has the ball for a third of the game. That plays to Tech's advantage. Tech's got a much more efficient offense than Troy does or Southern Miss. Now, Troy's down 38-0 at halftime. That game wasn't close. They scored some at the end to make it look a little better. Southern Miss was only down 14-10 at halftime in game one of the year. So, and they're not great. I mean, they're improved, but they're not very good. They're not a good team. So, with Driscoll and Dixon and Turner and company and Trent Taylor, I really feel like Tech's going to have a lot of possessions where they move the ball down the field. Can they convert in the red zone? Can they get those touchdowns to stay in the game and have a chance to win? Tech on third down, right now only 75th in the country at 38%, so not doing great. And then in the red zone, you know, 60th, so kind of in the middle of the country. Barnes has been fantastic this year. That's a weapon. I mean, you get 3 points against an SEC defense.
You get 50 within in, and he's going to make it.
Yeah, and so you get 6 or 9 points, you know, 2 or 3 field goals against an SEC defense. That can make the difference in the game. It really could, and now you've got somebody you can rely on, which you could not say last year.
So, Jason, where do you see the biggest position advantages or where Tech has an edge versus Mississippi State based on just purely the depth chart as far as size goes?
I really feel like those defensive ends that are so tall and that are listed at 260 or whatnot, I still feel like Dixon's going to be able to get to the edge and run on them. They're not big. You know, they're 6'5", 6'6", whatever they are. They're long.
Well, A.J. Jefferson's 6'3", and then Ryan Brown is 6'6".
Okay, well, 6'6" is what I was thinking of. On that side, you know, the guy's 260 or whatever he is. I feel like Tech's going to be able to run the ball. He's athletic, but he's not a big run stuffer. I feel like Tech's going to be able to run the ball on that right side, you know, with Dixon. They'll put in a Mississippi native, Josh Gaston, there at tight end, and they're gonna try to pound the ball with Dixon, run the ball. You'll see some of that zone read to keep him honest. Driscoll will run around the side. He'll fake it sometimes to set it up, and Tech's gonna have a lot of success with that. And they're also gonna keep pounding Trent Taylor in the middle, because Mississippi State's not going to want to let Henderson get behind them or Turner. They're going to really try to cover up the big plays. It's going to be all about Trent Taylor. So
they got a really long free safety in Kevon Coleman at 6'3", 196. And then
their other safety's out, so they're starting a sophomore.
The Will Redmond is – oh, no, Brandon Bryant is – oh, there.
Bryant is the replacement.
At strong safety, they've got 3 freshmen listed. A redshirt freshman in Brandon Bryant, Mark McLaurin as a true freshman, and Jamal Peters as a true freshman. So
yeah, they've got a replacement at safety, and they've got a corner that's banged up. So in the secondary, you know, they're going to be really worried about Turner and Henderson on the outside, and I think that safety is going to have to really stay back and help that. So I feel like across the middle with Taylor, that's going to be the bread and butter, playing off of the run game.
And then you look offensively, like you said, DeRunya, which has got to be one of the best names for a wide receiver. I'm going to run you, DeRunya said. DeRunya Wilson, 6'5", 215, a junior who is a monster.
Well, and that's the two. I mean, Fred Ross is really good too at receiver, but Wilson's the one you're worried about. And then Gus Wally, the tight end, he's missed the last 2 games, but he's supposed to be back this week. He had 5 catches against Auburn, 7 against LSU for 67 yards. Tech struggles with the tight end. Those two players, Tech's going to stop the run. Of course, the number one objective is to try to contain Dak, but number two is don't let DeRunya make the big play and try not to let the tight end just absolutely kill you.
They got a lot of oars listed at running back. Ashton Schumpert,
who had a Tech offer, I believe, out of high school. I remember him.
6'2", 218 junior. Brandon Holloway, 5'8", 165. He's obviously the scat back. You know he's not a power back. And then Dontavian, 6'1", 227, and then Aris Williams, 6'1", 205. So they got some power guys, and they've got some shifty fellas. But they, like Reed was saying, they struggle running the football. Dak Prescott is their leading rusher. And I think he only has over 200 yards rushing on the season. Dak Prescott, of course, from Houghton, 6'2", 230. A senior who has started for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 49 carries on the year. Schumpert's got 42. And then their most successful rusher is Brandon Holloway, 28 carries, 146 yards, 5.2 yards per carry. But he's the little guy, 5'8", 160 from Tampa. So he's the third down back.
He's going to be the sweep guy.
Yeah. And then Dontavian Lee is the big guy, 6'1", 227 from Hattiesburg. He's actually got, you know, 8.2 yards per carry, but he's only carried it 13 times. And then Nick Fitzgerald is the backup quarterback. He's got 93 yards rushing.
I'm with you. The more you look at this game, the better. The more you're okay with the matchup. The line right now, I think, is at 13.5 from Vegas.
I feel like it should be 9 or 10. I think that's still a little high. Yes, they're at home. Yes, they got the big crowd and a couple of really big SEC athletes.
And we don't know for sure who's playing for Louisiana Tech. Carlos Henderson, it really amazed me that he played the entire game because of some of the shots he took. I mean, he had a long pass and he fell on the football. That is never fun. So if Carlos Henderson's 100%, I'll be shocked. But it's the same goes for Kenneth Dixon. And Rafe thought that he'd be 100%, but if he couldn't play at all last week, they said that he was available, but he's available if you lose three running backs.
At best, he's going to be 85-90, but we'll take that every day.
Sure. You hope you can get Paul Turner back. So there's some question offensively for Louisiana Tech on what the depth chart looks like. There was one of the UTSA guys tweeted today about how little depth charts say these days on college for that colleges release, and it's the truth. They might as well not even put them out. Maybe they put them out for TV purposes, but you can hand one that's actually accurate to the TV crew on Saturday, because the ones you're putting out they're not very accurate. Maybe the offensive line and the defensive line's accurate and the corners, but outside of that, offensively, you really don't know anything.
Yeah.
And who a starter is in football doesn't matter.
Because
you rotate so much.
The depth chart's almost like the injury report from the NFL, where every player is just questionable or probable, and then you don't know who's going to show up out there. It's just the coaches don't want to give away what they have. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, you know, Carlos Henderson's 100% or he's out. They're just going to put him at probable or questionable or whatever. They're going to leave him on the depth chart in college and let the other team guess. You know, they don't want to put that information out there, and so I don't blame them. But it is almost like, what's the point?
I really don't understand what the point is, and that's really the only page inside of game notes that I look at. Maybe I'm an awful media person, but when the game notes are released and there's 50 pages every week, I'm looking at the depth chart to see if there's any noticeable changes. Because if somebody's been kicked off the team or is no longer with the team, you'll see it there. They will do that.
Yeah. Just the week-to-week stuff. It really is just a guessing game. And, you know, we should ask more with Coker. You know, we should have asked him about the Mississippi State injury situation. They've got an offensive lineman that's been out. He's supposed to be back. The tight end is going to be back this week. They got a couple of DBs that are out, and one of them should be back at corner. But they've got a few injuries of their own. I mean, both teams are a little banged up.
Well, everybody this time of year.
Yeah, that's just the nature of football.
If Tech isn't beat up, you're questioning things. And if you're not missing some of your starters Saturday, it'll be surprising.
Well, and, you know, we talked about, is Tech going to hold out players, you know, last week or this week? And, you know, do you hold out players in a conference game just so you can turn around and play against an SEC team, or do you hold them out against a non-conference game like this week because you're more worried about next week against Middle Tennessee? Well, Mississippi State's playing Kentucky next week. That's an SEC game.
So both teams are in the same situation.
Yeah, I mean, do they want to just make sure their guys are healthy so they don't slip up at home next week against Kentucky in an SEC game that they have to win? You know, I don't know. Or maybe they just don't. They don't care about that. Maybe they're just going to play who's available, whether they're 100% or not, and not worry about who they're playing.
That's how you have to play.
Yeah,
in my opinion, it doesn't matter what your injury report looks like. Play your best players, no matter who you're playing. I know that next week's game for Conference USA purposes means more than this weekend against Mississippi State, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As Herm Edwards once famously said, you play to win the game.
And, you know, looking long term and just saying that big if button, Tech wins this game and ends up finishing the year out undefeated. That goes a long way for getting out of a Conference USA bowl and looking at a better bowl. I mean, you're 10-2. You're going to have some regional bowls won, yeah.
Especially with a victory over an SEC team.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you're going to see, we mentioned the Mississippi natives on Tech's defense, all three of them starting, and then Dixon and Driscoll and Turner being seniors, two of them are SEC transfers. they're gunning for this game. They had it against Kansas State, and it didn't work out. They're gunning for this one. So it should be a really good game.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little bit Conference USA football and maybe a little recruiting. Jason's always got a little bit of a couple of nuggets to talk about recruiting, although he gives me a funny look, so that may not be the case this week. But we can talk Conference USA football at the very least for 15 minutes. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. This segment brought to you by National Jewelry. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston. 255-7698. Beautiful new store in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Go check them out. Well, Jason, Tech sitting in the driver's seat of the West Division, playing arguably the toughest team Saturday and beating them on the road.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, UTSA, I was just looking at their schedule going forward. They're 1-1 in the West, and Tech just beat them, so they're in the driver's seat for sure. But UTSA still might be the biggest competition. If they get through Southern Miss this week, which is basically a toss-up game in Hattiesburg, if UTSA can come out on top, they finish at North Texas. They get the best draw that you can possibly get from the East, playing Old Dominion and Charlotte, along with Middle Tennessee. And then they've got Rice, which they're actually favored at home against Rice, according to Massey ratings. So UTSA could run the table in Conference USA and finish 7-1 in the conference. So that leaves Tech no room to slip up.
No room for error.
So
I honestly think Southern Miss wins this weekend. Their offense, that's their strength.
You've almost got to pull for Southern Miss in this game just to make sure UTSA doesn't come up with some miraculous run to finish the season. Southern Miss has already lost to Marshall, and they've still got to come to Ruston, and they got to go to Rice. So they're heavy underdogs in two more games. So it's, you almost want them to beat UTSA and then let Tech and Rice take care of them. But, you know, Tech's favored heavily in the rest of their games after this week. But it's not a gimme that they're going to win the division. They've got to take care of business. No slip-ups are available, because if you do slip up against a Rice on the road or at home against Middle Tennessee even next week, if you have a letdown game, you know, then you're climbing up from behind the rest of the season, and you still got Southern Miss licking their chops. Tech has never beaten Southern Miss 3 years in a row. This is the chance. You know that they're gunning for Tech, that last game of the year. In Ruston, you can't take that one for granted.
You look at recapping last week around Conference USA, FIU dominates UTEP at home 52-12. UTEP just cannot play offense, and obviously they can't play much defense either.
Ever since they lost Aaron Jones, they've just fallen completely apart. The wheels came off in El Paso. The whole vehicle just blew apart in Denton. North Texas is awful. Fired their coach in the middle of the
season.
Lost
66-7 to FCS Portland State at home.
Now, some of the reports were that they fired the coach before the game, which, if that's true, that's horrible on the AD, because you don't let him go all week thinking everything's fine. Fire him right before the game thinking that's going to fire up the players. They obviously laid down. So that makes me think that the report's probably true.
Well,
because as dumb as it sounds,
if you're Dan McCartney and somebody's just fired you, what the heck are you doing out there on the field?
Houston Nutt coached the rest of the season when he got fired, but
there ain't no way. Maybe I'm an awful human being. If you fire me, I'm going to the house and I'm starting to pack my stuff and I'm finding me another job.
Yeah, maybe he felt like he owed it to the players to stick it out, but the players,
you got a dumpster fire as it is. What are you going to do in a game?
The players obviously mailed it in. I mean, you don't lose to an FCS team by 60 points without just not showing up. I mean, that
was terrible. And then
awful.
Middle Tennessee, I don't think is as good as we all thought they could be. They lose 58-28. To Western Kentucky. Now, it was in Bowling Green, but
that's a big rivalry game. Western Kentucky hates them. So, yeah. And Western Kentucky's rolling right now. I mean, they really are. But Middle Tennessee lost by 4 to Vanderbilt and 2 to Illinois. So, you're thinking, and they blew out Charlotte. So, you're thinking, okay, well, maybe this team has a chance to be good. But
Maybe not.
We'll see. Florida International will be the big test. They've got them at home this week. We'll be able to tell against a middle-of-the-road conference team how good Middle Tennessee really is.
Rice traveled to Boca Raton, took on FAU. To put it in the words of our friend Aaron Dietrich on the morning show, squeaker, 27-26.
Yeah, the Battle of the Owls was definitely a squeaker.
And then, of course, Tech 34-31 over UTSA in San Antonio. This week, Western Kentucky travels to the dumpster fire in Denton, Texas,
where the over and under is not 100 points. I mean, or the spread's not 100. I thought they'd be favored by 100. I mean, if an FCS team can beat them by 60.
Well, Western Kentucky will have their starters out by halftime.
Yeah, I think they're only the spread's only like 28. I was shocked. I thought it'd at least be twice that much.
FIU travels to Middle Tennessee, like you were mentioning. Tech, of course, travels to Mississippi State on the SEC Network at 11 a.m. Marshall travels to FAU. Marshall's not the team of old.
They're still 5-1. And they're still going to be the last game of the season for Western Kentucky. So they're going to be looking for a little payback after that one-point loss.
Then Charlotte travels to Old Dominion in the pillow fight of the week inside the conference. And UTSA travels to Southern Miss, a game that could be pretty decent. I think Southern Miss is victorious.
Yeah, Southern Miss and UTSA, that's the game of the week in the Western Division. That's going to say a lot about who's going to compete. You know, the winner still got a chance to compete for the division. And in the East, FIU and Middle Tennessee is a battle for bowl eligibility. They're not going to be as good as Marshall or West Kentucky, but those are probably fighting each other for the third-best team. So that's going to be an interesting game.
We look at the statistics nationally. In scoring offense, Tech is sitting pretty good. At number two behind Western Kentucky, trailing them in scoring offense by less than 3 points per game. Western Kentucky's 42.2 points a game, Tech at 39.5 points a game. Both have played six games. Marshall leads in scoring defense at 17.5 points a game, with Western Kentucky at number three and Tech at number four. FAU, who Tech has already beaten, at number two. On total offense, Tech is number three behind Western Kentucky and Southern Miss. Like I said, Southern Miss's offense is pretty good. And what we saw last week of UTSA's offense, they're not as good as we probably thought they were. So, the scoring defense, UTSA is number 10 in the country, or not 10 in the country, 10 in the conference out of 13. So, Southern Miss may score 45.
Yeah, that's going to be a high-scoring game, really.
Because Southern Miss's defense is not very good.
What's the over-under on that game? I mean,
900.
Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of defense being played in that game.
No, the score. I hope the Southern Miss scoreboard is ready because it's going to get burned up. Total defense, Tech is number two behind Charlotte, which is surprising. Charlotte has played five games, and they're averaging giving up 333 yards a game to Tech's 360. FIU right behind Tech at 363. Rush offense inside the conference, Tech number two at 174 yards per game. Rice, that's basically all they can do is run the football. They're sitting at 200 yards a game. Rush defense, Tech is number one in the conference, and by a pretty wide margin. Tech with 110 yards per game to FIU's 137. Pass offense, Tech number three behind Western Kentucky and Southern Miss, two teams that they chunked the ball around the yard, so that's not surprising. But neither one of those offenses are really as multidimensional as Tech is. Pass defense, that's where Tech is not in the top five. Number seven, which that goes back to the big plays Tech's given up in the passing game. You take away those, and Tech's probably number one in the conference. If they can shore up that...
Oh, yeah. It's not...
Tech's defense is unbelievable.
Yeah, surprisingly... The over and under for Texas San Antonio versus Southern Miss is only 58 points. That's
are you saying take the over and run?
Oh yeah, there's no defense in that game.
But
that
you don't condone betting.
Oh, of course not. That's bad.
That's bad.
I've never bet on a game in my life.
I haven't either.
But
no, we sure do talk about it a lot.
To me, it's just more interesting on what these guys are. They're more right than anybody else because there's money to be made, and so they obviously are really good at predicting this kind of stuff. So the over under on the Tech game is 58. So they think there's more offense in that game than the game down in Hattiesburg. That's crazy to me.
Pass efficiency, Tech sits in the top five, sitting at number four, with once again Western Kentucky and Southern Miss ahead of them, and Middle Tennessee at number two. Pass efficiency, defense, Tech number eight. Well, like we said, that's where Tech has struggled, is in a pass defense, which is still a head scratcher to me. Kickoff returns, dead last.
Ouch.
19.3 yards a kick return. Old Dominion just passed Tech at 19.5. Then UTEP at 20.1. So Tech's really not even that close to being out of last place.
Mm.
Punt return average, Tech is at number two at 14.4 yards a punt return, with UTEP at number one. Both teams have a punt return for a touchdown. Interceptions, Tech's at number six. Punting, Tech is at number eight, only 3.8 yards out of first place. So that punting is very consistent across the board, really, in the whole conference. Kick coverage, once again, Tech is last. 35.9 yards at kick return. That is the kickoff coverage and return teams have not been good for Tech. Luckily, the field goal team has been pretty stinking good. Jonathan Barnes has kicked more field goals than anybody in the conference, has made more than anybody in the conference. 13 of 15, 87%, good for fourth place in the conference. Then sacks by Tech's number seven, and sacks against Tech is number five. First downs, Tech is first at 25.3 first downs a game. So, like we keep saying, if Tech cleans up the pass defense, the sky's the limit.
It really is. Time of possession, Tech's 33rd in the country. Mississippi State struggles in that. And Tech doesn't have a ton of penalties. They're 40th in the country at 5.67 penalties a game. So, the fewest penalty yards per game, they're 30th in the country. They only have 46. So, Tech's going to control the ball, not make a ton of mistakes, and give themselves the chance to win. They got a good kicker. Just don't give up the big play in the kickoff. Don't give up the big play in the receiving game. They're going to control the run. Don't let Prescott have a game of the year. And I feel like Tech's going to have a chance to win. It's going to be pretty close. We were talking about the over-under in the Tech game was 58. Tulsa, East Carolina, 77.5. And you think that would be the biggest of the year or biggest of the week. But
it's not the year because it was Baylor. Texas Tech was the highest over-under in the history of Vegas.
But you mentioned Baylor, and yeah, Baylor, West Virginia, 78. So they're the biggest of the week, one more than Tulsa, East Carolina.
Baylor, Texas Tech was 80-something.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Tech did pick up a commitment this past week in Drew Melanson of Hanville High School in the New Orleans area. Drew's dad played football at LSU for 3 years. I've got it as 4 years in my story. I need to go fix that. 3 years for the Tigers. His dad's a orthopedic surgeon down in the New Orleans area. Was a team doctor for Southern Miss. He had an offer from Southern Miss.
Yeah,
offer, and it meant nothing.
Offer from Southern Miss, ULM, 6'4", 280, a good program at Hanville.
Only in his first year playing offensive line, played tight end before that.
Yeah, so I mean he's really athletic, and that's what Tech's looking for on the offensive line. This is a guy that's versatile. Could see him at right guard or right tackle.
Or how about a 4.0 GPA student and a 30 on the ACT?
That's where it's all about. I mean, that's awesome.
It's a great get for the Bulldogs in Melanson, and the commitment train keeps on going. Tech sitting at 17. Commitments for 2016.
And we really only think they're going to have five or six spots left. So can be really picky going forward. Really, every position now is solid except receiver. I mean, that's the two or three that they you want to see them really go after, so that if they take another player on defense, it can be at almost any position. And I expect them to take two or three receivers, two or three defensive players, and that really might be it. Now, we did talk about last week, will they add a running back to this class with, you know, having two seniors, and the one commitment that they do have, Ladarius Thomas, is injured right now. Will they get some insurance and go with somebody else? We'll see. Right now, the only offer that we know of is Darbyon Prophet from Baton Rouge, 5'10", 193. He looks pretty good on film, but, you know, he's out of Southern Lab. He's got offers from ULL, Southern Miss, so he's 5'10", 193. He's a little bit of a different running back than Thomas is, who's well over 200 pounds, a very big back, 6'2", 213. So they might go with a smaller guy, you know, that's more of a traditional size running back. But there's so many out there in the state of Louisiana this year and in the region that if Tech wants a running back, they'll find a good one.
I agree. Let's take a break. Other side of the break, we'll wrap up the show and give our predictions. This final break brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen, and also our good friend Gary Stokely of Keller Williams Realty. Give him a call for your real estate needs. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building, 255-7698. Give us a call in this final segment on the Fairway Carts Amendment Hotline, or send us a text on the text line, 888-993-7762. Well, Jason, we do have some text. Worried about he is worried about our offensive line this week versus all the blitzes of Diaz. Think he is going to blitz us to death. He thinks he's going to blitz us to death. Not sure they can hold up protection wise. Nothing works if you can't block it. Thoughts? Do they have a lot of sacks? They really don't have that many sacks.
No, I don't see them. Tate just doesn't hold on to the ball too long. It's all run, hit Taylor over the middle real quick. And, yeah, Tech will go for the long pass.
But they max protect when they go deep.
Yeah, and Driscoll stands in the pocket so well. He's going to take the hit. So I don't think they really get in his head too bad and really get too much pressure. I expect just having veterans up front like Robinson and Mahaffey and Brown and Danielson. I mean, these guys are going to have to bring their A game. But you do really have veterans up front, of course, with the exception of freshman O'Shea Dugas in there. But and I expect him to have, with the cowbells and stuff, he'll have a couple of false starts. But, you know, he's so big and talented that you've got to have him in there. And
And really, Tech's running backs do a pretty good job of picking up blitzes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Dixon's been great at that. So
and Kraft was good about it Saturday. We got another question from Gary. How many Tech players are NFL caliber right now, and who may be drafted? That's from the Fairway Carts amending text line.
Well, we've seen Mike Dettillier talk about it, and I mean Dixon's got a third or fourth round grade by a lot of analysts. I see him being as high as second round, depending on how the workouts go. Butler's got fourth to fifth round grade. To me, he's more like a third to fourth. I mean, he's just so big and athletic. I still think Driscoll gets a shot in the sixth or seventh round. I mean, he just looks the part. He can run. He can throw. He's so smart. Somebody's going to take a flyer on him in the later at the very end of the draft.
Bryson Abraham's going to get a free agent deal.
Yeah, Thomason probably will at least get an invite to camp.
And Darius Barnes will. He could get drafted as well, yeah, because he's gifted physically.
Yeah, sixth or seventh round, he's got a chance. Vontarius Dory's got a chance, sixth or seventh round, because he's gifted physically.
Kentrell Bryce will get a look, free agent deal.
Yeah, I don't see the offensive lineman getting drafted per se. They might get a chance.
Driscoll will get a shot, a free agent deal, but
I really think somebody takes a shot at him, sixth or seventh round.
Do you really?
He's 6'5". He's super smart. He can run. What's the difference between him and some of these other people that are going to get picked in the third round? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Just
based, he's had a really good year, and he's proven that he can play the position. I think that's the best part of fifth-year transfers is if they're at a place and they're underappreciated or underutilized, for them to get a fresh start for a year and prove those coaches, look, I can play this game. You just didn't know how to use me. That's probably my favorite part of fifth-year transfers.
He's going to win in the interviews. Somebody give him a shot in the seventh round. I mean, somebody will. Tech's got a lot of good. You know, Paul Turner's health issues might keep him from getting drafted, but he'll get a free agent look. And
I think that wraps it up pretty good.
Man, if Xavier Woods had the year he had last year, he could have gone early. But now,
yeah, he'll be back for a senior year.
So, really good NFL talent on this team. The recruiting has really picked up the last 3 or 4 years.
What did you say that the over-under was for Tech Mississippi State?
58.
58.
No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. That was...
Yeah, I think it was 58. There's lots of them that are 58. 58 is a common number in over-unders.
Okay, it is 58. I'm sorry.
58 over-under in a line of 13.5. The way that I've been playing this predict the score game is by just using that.
And I guess I was looking at the wrong thing. San Antonio and Southern Miss are both, they're also 58. So a little better than I thought. I was thinking it was 48, and that just seemed too low to me.
So if you're putting a prediction on this game, where do you have your – I know you've already prepared your number.
You know, I've been out of town for 5 days, so I haven't.
That's an excuse.
It is an excuse, but I have not done it. I'm predicting 27-24 Mississippi State.
Massey has it 35-21 Mississippi State.
And that's exactly right on the money with the odds.
On the odds and on the line.
Yeah. I mean, it's just right there.
I think Mississippi State wins this. I think Tech could cover it, backdoor cover it with a late score. I'll go 34-24.
Yeah, that's right there, too. So I think Tech holds them for Will and that's touchdown. It's 27-24, but it's going to be a good game. And, you know, a couple turnovers here or there.
You can't forget Joe Dirt, a.k.a. John Tabor. John, what's your prediction?
Almost identical to you. I was thinking 34-23 State.
So we're not over the top homers this week.
Yeah, I feel like it
which
could
is
go
surprising
either.
that one of us wasn't.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, Tech's played well on the road in these type of games the last few years. They've gone and beaten, you know, some teams, and they had their chance to beat Kansas 2 years ago, Kansas State this year, and late fumble lost the game. But other than that, they were going to win both games. So Tech and Tech took Mississippi State to overtime 3 years ago. So Tech's got a chance in this game, but they're just going to have to play well, mistake free football.
And the injury questions that we don't know. Who's going to be available Saturday in Starkville? Not that a later kickoff would even change that. From 11 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you're not going to get better in 7 hours.
Yeah. Skip's always said he likes the earlier games just because you're not sitting around the hotel all day.
And especially when you're on the road, 11 o'clock's incredible.
Yeah, that's great. Just wake up, go play, let Miss.
Not as much sauce flowing.
Yeah, let Mississippi State, you know, just kind of get to the game lazily and not be ready, and their fans won't be all foaming at the mouth. And, you know, a quiet crowd, a lazy crowd is good, and give Tech a chance. And I think the Bulldogs have a chance. So it'll be fun. I expect, you know, a pretty good contingent of Tech fans to get over there. And it's really anybody's game. Kick the ball off. It'll be just like at Manhattan. You know, if Tech can just keep them from scoring early and having that big, huge play, you know, a 70-yard touchdown pass or a kickoff return for a touchdown to get the fans energized, if Tech can hold them without scoring or hold them to a field goal maybe on the first couple drives and not give up these big plays, get a score early in the first quarter.
They got to come out fast.
Yeah, I mean – as long as it's not 14-0 after one quarter, if it's 7-3 or whatever, or 6-0 or what, you know, as long as Tech can keep it close and just get some plays, get some first downs, get the ball rolling, it'll be a ball game, and Tech will be in it.
We'd be remiss not to say this name. Former Tech signee Sharkandrick West getting the start at Kansas for Kansas City, the Chiefs, Saturday or Sunday, with Jamal Charles out for the year. He looks like he's going to get a lot of starts for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I got to see him play.
Moosey.
I got to see him play for Spring Hill. I think it was still Spring Hill back in the day.
Yeah, it was.
Against Homer. We went to Homer, went up there and watched him, and it was so funny. I talked to their coach after the game, and I said, you know, it's odd that he's not playing tailback, and he said he just wants to get him the ball as soon as possible. So he was lining as the up back, almost like a fullback. They hiked the ball, handed it to him, and he's just through that line, and he was so fast.
So fast.
And playing that level football.
He played at Abilene Christian after he didn't clear the clearinghouse for Louisiana Tech. So
yeah, everybody thought he'd go to a JUCO for 2 years and then in Texas or somewhere and then come back, and he decided to go to a four-year school. Abilene Christian's now in the Southland. They've moved up in the world. But yeah, good for him. Represent North Louisiana.
Thank you for joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio this week, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go check those guys out. Brand new renovated store inside the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. For Jason Jones, John Tabor, I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be back same time next week. See you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. Radio is your